Hi there, everyone. So, welcome to the next episode of our podcast. And today I am with Simon Bennett up at Riverside Organic Farm in Whatcroft, which is just next door to Davenham. So, hi, Simon.
Hi, Ian. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah, and good to see you too. It's a beautiful day.
It is absolutely glorious. For a day in February, you'd take this every day, wouldn't you?
You would. I was saying to some mates yesterday that it really feels like spring is in the air.
Well, we've got snowdrops that come up in the garden. It's always a good sign that things are starting to move and a little bit closer to getting these ladies outside in the fresh air and, you know, enjoy themselves in the, on the grass.
So, yes.
A bit less work as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So when will that happen, normally?
It all depends on the weather, but normally it's somewhere between... beginning of April and middle of May, depending on the season. Normally it's how much wet weather we get, so and how warm it is.
Okay.
So organic farming, we're waiting for the soil temperature to be warm enough that the clover starts growing, which then pumps nitrogen naturally into the soil and helps grass to grow, and then it competes with the clover, and hey presto, we're on the way.
So that, because that's what they'll eat.
That's what they'll eat, and of course, if the if you put them out too soon and it gets very wet, they'll poach the ground, so they'll tread the grass into the soil rather than, you know, just walking on it normally. And then, of course, it damages the crop, you know, the actual grass, and you produce a lot less. So,
Never even thought of that.
No, it's. I mean, that's why there's no reason that cows couldn't live outside all year.
Okay.
But they would just destroy the grasslands because it's so wet on the west coast of Britain. Some people, sort of Pembrokeshire way, where there's sort of very, very light sandy ground, cliff tops and stuff like that, or mountainsides, which don't suffer from poaching, they can live outside. They're quite happy. Down to minus 20.
They're quite happy.
So
we've digressed a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit,
So, obviously, I know your farm very well because we come quite a lot with our kids. You've got a nice, diverse setup. But for those who don't know, so you were you born here then?
I was born here. In fact, my mum was born here. My mum was actually born in the front bedroom. My grandparents took the tenancy on in 1939.
Okay.
And yeah, my mum was born here. So and she's still an active member in the business. She's still... very busy. I was born here. I was actually, well, not actually here myself.
Stable.
No. I was born in Davenham, one of the last people to be born, I think, in Davenham maternity unit.
Yeah, other side of the 556.
That's right, yeah. Been local all my life.
So your mum was born here. Your mum met your dad. Was your dad a local boy as well?
Yeah, he farmed over for... the other side of Whitegate, near Winsford, just by the police headquarters. And they met at Rees Heath College. My dad was a agricultural contractor when he first started, because his father owned some land there, but it wasn't enough for him to farm there. So he started agricultural contracting, and then he met my mum. And And then when my grandfather retired, my dad took the tenancy on here. So
when would that have been then?
What's the year? 1966, I believe.
Famous year.
Yeah. So a long time.
Yeah. So an awful long time.
Yeah, and he's an active part of the business still. He's still tinkering around. And
yeah, you've always seen
mending stuff. Yeah.
Whenever you come for a coffee or a bacon sandwich, you have to bring the kids to look at the emu and all the others he's got, and he's always buzzing around in his blue overalls.
Well, he's a proper mechanic, my dad. He mends, he loves mending stuff, making stuff and interesting gadgets and things. So.
Essential on a farm, I would think.
Yeah, well, he's actually a really good engineer, which is, I trained as an engineer originally. And then, it's a long story, but my dad was injured quite badly with a bull. When I was at university, and then I finished university and literally came home to help because he was quite in a bad way, sort of broken all his ribs and dislocated a shoulder and a knee and a fractured his skull. So yeah, you can't be too careful with animals this big.
No, they're huge, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're not to be scared of them, but you just need to respect them. So yeah, he was very lucky. Yeah. But I'm still here, so
indeed.
There you go.
So you grew up on the farm. Do you have brothers and sisters then?
Yeah, so I've got an elder sister who lives in Filey in Yorkshire, and enjoying the seaside and what have you.
And what does she do?
She's sort of semi-retired. She's sort of she works in a local shop, but that's pretty seasonal. So. Yeah, they're mortgage free. They you know, go to the beach and just enjoy life. Yeah.
So she's an older sister.
Not much older. She's 3 years older than me. Okay. So she's what, 50?
Okay, it's a nice retirement.
Yeah. So, and then my younger brother, who's 7 years younger than me, he works in finance in London. Right. He's a managing director of company down there.
Okay, so a world away from where we are.
And yeah, it's he is very good at his job. But it's nice to visit. It's nice to come home.
Yes, I always think that when I go to London these days. When you come back here, it's just heavenly, isn't it?
It's all the lights and people and whatever. Yeah. It's so nice to come where.
Yeah, I agree.
It's quiet.
I agree. Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting old.
Well, I think we both are. Yeah. So we discussed before we came on air that sort of how much you love what you do. Really, that it's a vocation.
Love what I do. I mean. It's not easy. It's every day, you know, and particularly at this time of year, you know that your batteries are getting a bit down because, of course, since these lovelies have been in, it's every day, you know, and which you don't begrudge, but you sort of get to the spring and you're sort of like, oh, I can't wait for them to go out, I can't wait, you know, it's great, but they reward you with pleasure, you know. I mean, they're lovely and they're calm, and you know, this one here munching a hay right next to you. It's I love what I do. I wouldn't swap it. I wouldn't. But you've got to love it. You have to love it.
Well, yeah, because of course, not every day is like today, is it?
No,
you had a lot of rain recently.
No, and that snow and ice makes life hard work. Yeah. And we even had some of the, because it was minus 11, I think, one night.
Yeah.
The water troughs start freezing up, and then you're sort of bucketing water, and cattle drink a lot of water. They drink sort of 10 gallons a day.
Right. Okay.
Which is a lot of water.
Yeah.
That's a challenge when it gets that cold.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. But it's very varied, isn't it? I suppose. Is that a fair statement to make? Your work is varied?
Oh, gosh. There are no 2 days the same. No. Particularly because we've diversified as a business so much. You know, we've got the beef cattle and we've got the sheep, and that's just the farming aspect. Mm-hmm. But then there's the online, you know, online orders, packing boxes, then there's the farm shop, the packing meat and veg and all that sort of thing, and then there's the cafe and all of those things and all the maintenance and stuff that goes with it, and deliveries, and you know, there's van driving, the wholesale side of the business. It's quite a diverse, although it's all sort of under the same canopy, you know. Yes. it's all related.
Yes.
There's no 2 days the same.
So the diversification of the business then, is that something that you've sort of spearheaded?
Definitely.
Yeah. When did that sort of begin? When did you sort of start to think about other things other than farming?
When I left university, I came home, and it was the farm at that stage would struggle to support me as well. And so I actually started a landscape contracting business, mostly doing sort of new build stuff, you know, planting, like turfing and planting shrubs and whatever, which was great, apart from the house builders didn't pay particularly quickly. And so you end up with a lot of outstanding debt, which is hard to manage. And eventually I decided I was going to concentrate more on the farm.
Okay.
And so I sort of sold that bit of the business on, and we decided, or I decided, or I think collectively decided, that we'd try and go more to market. So rather than rearing cattle and then selling them to a meat processor or whatever, we'd try and go straight to market. So I set up a meat box sort of idea. Yeah. So I marketed it to, if I got 20 customers and every person would get a 20th of a beast.
Yes.
And that went really well. And people really enjoyed the fact that they were buying something that was so local to them.
Yes.
And it was organic and it ticks all the boxes. And I do wonder sometimes whether I should have left it at that and scaled it, you know, and gone big. But we thought, oh, this is great. We'll open a shop, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, once you open a shop, you've got to have somebody in the shop all the time. So that's a commitment.
Yes.
And then, but we went on and the business grew. And then we realised that people really enjoyed coming because we've got a lovely view and you know, they like seeing the animals in the field and it feels very real. It's it's a farm shop.
Yes.
It's not a shop that happens to be in the countryside.
No.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
It's a farm shop.
Yeah, very much so.
And so we went on, and then people started saying, "Oh, is there any chance I could have a cup of tea?" And you think, "Oh, okay, there's a, you know, there's potential there." So we expanded that side of the business and spent a bit of money and converted some of the buildings. And then just, as any business, it just grows over time, doesn't it? And, and we thoroughly enjoy having people here and sharing our world with them, you know.
That
I like to think that we're very real.
Yeah, well, We come quite a bit with the kids, and then we have got a lot of friends that do the same sort of thing. And those that have never been before can't believe how lovely it is right on their doorstep, you know.
Well, so we're very fortunate that we're just far enough away from civilization that it feels like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
but realistically, it's a walking distance.
Yeah,
it's a mile from the village.
Yeah,
so,
it is, yeah.
And quite a pleasant walk too. So,
it is.
And there are some lovely walks around here.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there are,
Like round the canal. That's a lovely walk. Mm-hmm. It's probably 3 or 4 miles from here.
That's right.
People come, park the car, go for a lovely walk, bring the dog.
Yeah. I go for a run in the springtime. I go for a run early morning, and I end up at the Tesco in Kingsmead, get a large coffee, and then I do a loop, and I walk, and I end up coming out opposite your farm,
right,
back down into the village.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely delightful.
It's lovely.
On spring morning, it's 6:37 in the morning. It's absolute heaven. Yeah.
Well, I've got
so quiet.
We've got my brother's dog and my mother-in-law's dogs.
Yes.
So we've got five dogs at the minute.
Okay.
So we're out at the, well, in the dark, walking them in the morning.
Yeah.
And but it's been beautiful because, of course, the weather's been nice.
Oh, the sunrise has been
full
amazing.
Moon, sunrise.
Yeah,
I mean,
glorious.
It's just idyllic, really.
Yeah.
It's worth getting up for.
I completely agree. So let's just backtrack slightly. So grew up on the farm, brother and sister.
Yeah.
You must have had an amazing childhood, sounds like it.
We had the best childhood. I mean, I was just like never here. I would spend my life in the woods.
Yeah.
Just making stuff, building dens, just, you know, I made an underground little hut thing with with a fireplace. And, you know, we just did what kids ought to be doing, which is climbing trees and doing stupid stuff, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Enjoying ourselves, yeah.
So you went to the local school. You got David in primary?
I went
or
to
Kingsmead?
I went to Lethwich High School.
Okay.
And, which, did okay. Wasn't really into school particularly. Did a typical bloke, I think. Did just enough to get by without getting into trouble, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And then went to college and did electronic engineering, and did just enough to get by without getting into trouble.
Yeah.
Went to university, and it was like the world changed. I absolutely loved university and loved education, and wished that I had probably done a little bit more at school. Would have made it a bit easier.
Yeah,
but absolutely loved engineering. Really, really loved everything about it.
Where did you go to university?
I went to Harper Adams University College in
Where's that?
Shropshire.
In Shropshire, okay.
Right. Which is an agriculture university, yeah, but okay. It's massive now. It's massive. It's changed. We took, we went back for a 25-year reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 25. Right. Where did that go?
Yeah.
Last year, and it's just huge. It's just a huge campus, and doing all sorts of interesting things there. But yeah, engineering, I still
loved and do love.
Yeah, design.
Yeah,
engineering okay. design. I love doing that sort of thing.
So you've got two children of your own.
I've got two children.
They grew up here.
They grew up here. Yeah. Went to Dayton Primary, went to Lefwich High, same as I did, which is really weird because their teachers are some of my old teachers,
really?
You know. So, I hope that didn't go against them too much, but
I'm sure it didn't.
No, and they're doing very well. My daughter's at Bristol University and doing very well, and my son's doing his A levels and doing well. Yeah, working hard. So,
and do you think either of them might follow you into the family business?
I sort of hope so, it has to be their choice. You've got to love what you do, and if farming isn't a job that you do for the money, you have to love it, because it's every day.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love what I do, and if you do like that lifestyle, if you're prepared to get up every day, and that's what you think as well, isn't it? but you've got to love it, you know.
Yeah.
It's because it's not easy. It's so much red tape, and not like it used to be. It really isn't.
No. Before we came on air, we had a conversation that it's another conversation about all the red tape and how hard it is for you to.
It's
energy bills going up.
Energy is scary. Mm. It's scary. Mm. There's a lot of change that they're trying to implement within agriculture. I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of it, but there's a lot of... There traditionally been a lot of financial support for agriculture since the war to try and keep food prices low.
Yeah.
And they're trying to wean agriculture off that, which I don't disagree with, because I think it's the way forward, but... It's whether people are prepared in this country to pay the real cost of food. It's whether they are prepared to. In France and Germany and Spain and other places, in Europe generally, people have a much closer connection with their food.
Yeah.
And it sits much higher in their priority list.
Yes.
It's much near the top, much closer to the top than it is for people in this country. I think it's getting better and it is changing. But I think people need to be prepared to pay an awful lot more for the food if we're going to withdraw the subsidies for farmers, because farmers simply won't survive.
I mean, we're very used to cheap meat, aren't we?
Well, and that's something that really we need to get away from.
Yeah.
Intensive factory farming really needs to stop. It's not great. It's not great for the animals. It's not great for the farmers. No. It's not great for people. We generally eat too much meat. We'd be much better having a diet which still includes meat, but a higher quality, higher welfare system where we eat less meat but better quality is what I'm basically getting around to saying. It's just we've got to be careful that... As a nation, we compete. It's one thing to say, "Oh, we want high welfare meat and we want all the rest of it," but you've got to be prepared to pay for that. There's no point in saying we want a high, like the pig production at the moment. UK farmers have probably the best welfare system for pigs in the world.
Okay.
But as a result of that, pig meat is in. From a British producer, slightly more expensive than from a continental producer, and the processors are basically, because of Brexit and the lack of whatever, are saying, "Oh, we haven't really got enough workers for your meat, because we can buy it cheaper from the continent. Yeah. And so British pig farmers are going out of business, jeez, left, right and centre. The industry has literally been decimated. Wow. Just because of because the big players, the supermarkets...
Go elsewhere, yeah.
Well, they're just, you know, it's a little bit more expensive, yeah, so they can't make quite as much money out of it, so they just turn in the back on it. Yeah. And there won't be a British pig industry soon.
Wow, gosh.
And obviously, that doesn't necessarily affect me directly, yeah, but in this world of, you know, uncertainty, we've got, you know, wars and whatever, and we seem to be sort of selling an industry down the river at the very moment that we need it the most.
We need it, yeah.
For food security, yeah, energy security. I think you're in the way there, aren't you?
Sorry, mate.
So,
yeah.
You know, we just need to look after the things, because it doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter, you can have all the money in the world. If there isn't any food,
yeah,
or somebody won't sell it to you,
yeah,
you're going to starve to death.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
And you can't eat money.
No,
you can
no.
be as rich as you like, but yeah, farmers are, and food is the most precious thing on earth, isn't
it? Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
You know, so we need to look after it.
Yeah.
And we have some of the finest food in the world.
Yes.
But people need to be prepared to pay for it.
And, pay for it, yeah.
And buy locally. You know, the environmental card that everyone's playing, buy locally. Because I did a study when I was at uni, and we did a study on two market towns. And one market town got a supermarket, it built a supermarket in the market town, and they looked at how that changed the structure of the town. And of course at first it was like, oh, they're going to bring all these jobs, it's going to be great, there's going to be loads of money coming into the town. And then sort of 10 years later, they looked at what had actually happened. And what had happened is that, yeah, they created loads of jobs, but then gradually over years, all the grocers, butchers, bakers, all in the town, in the market town, had closed down.
Yeah.
And of course, for every pound you spend in a supermarket, it goes to the shareholders.
Of course, it doesn't stay local, does it?
Whereas if you spend a pound with your local baker, your grocer, whatever, he then goes and spends it at the local restaurant, the local whatever, he buys his car, you know, that money stays in the economy.
Yeah, it
does. Of course, the supermarket economy, the money's just been stripped out of neighbourhoods, the locality, and it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is gone.
Yeah, I'm not a massive advocate of the supermarket.
No, I can tell, yeah.
But
I understand.
I think if everyone shopped locally, doesn't matter whether it's a butcher, you know, I'm not saying everyone come to me. I'm saying shop locally.
Yes.
Shop, you know, and try your best to support local business. Even if it's like, you know, you can buy it on the internet. But if you can buy something locally from a local person, if it's, I don't know, 2 or 3% more, it's nothing.
No, no.
But that money staying in your economy
is far, far bigger, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay, so you have always lived here. You've grown up around here. You must have a circle of friends that you see around here.
I have got a cracking bunch of friends, yeah.
And what do you do socially then in the area?
Not a lot.
when you've got 5 minutes or 2 hours.
I love playing golf, actually.
Okay.
I don't play a lot of golf because I don't have the time.
No, join the club.
Hartford Golf Club is my club of, you know, choice. So it's local and it's only 9 holes, which is great for me because 9 holes is enough.
Yep.
We tend to play in an evening after work and through the summer.
Yep. Before you move on, talk to me about the third hole at Hartford.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's my absolute nemesis of a hole.
It's one of those holes that if you can hit two really good shots,
yes,
it's not a problem.
Yes.
There's the challenge, isn't it? Two really good shots.
First one just before it dips, land it sort of there,
just,
and the next one just
and
beyond.
The next one just get it over over the dip on the left hand side.
That's right. But how many times have you been down in that dip, Simon? Thousands, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot of times. But it is a challenge. It is a challenge. I mean, Hartford Golf Club is a challenging course. It's not very long.
No, that's right. You can't hit many drives, can you?
But if you go off centre, it's you're in the woods or under a tree, or it's
tricky.
It's a challenge, it's a tight course.
It is, yeah, it is.
I quite like that.
It's
quite good fun.
We play it in the summer, we play for 5:30 in the morning at Hartford.
Oh, do you?
So, yeah, because you can get an hour and a half, 2 hours in your home before school time.
Millionaire's golf, that. Yeah. So
you're back to help with the school run, which obviously,
yeah,
when the little is.
No, it's a good way of doing it. Yeah. We sort of play it, I don't know, 6:30 or something.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
So, obviously, you can only do that for 6 months of the year.
Of course, yeah. So you go for a pint locally here?
Not very often, but if I do, it's either Dave and Cricket Club.
Yeah.
I used to play for them, but realised I was probably too old. And but I still enjoy a pint up there. It's probably the best pint in the village,
in
my opinion.
Yeah, lovely spot.
Go to the Bull's Head. Yeah. We quite enjoy having a... if we're too tired to cook, we occasionally go for a Sunday roast at the Bull's Head. Very good.
Yeah, it is good.
I took my wife to the Hayhurst the other night, which I hadn't been to for quite a long time, but thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. That was nice.
We're quite well served for decent pubs and eateries, aren't we?
Yeah. So we don't go out very often, but certainly don't sort of go out with my mates as much as I'd like to.
No.
But that's just because I'm too busy doing other stuff.
Life.
But I've got a good bunch of friends. We've known each other. I mean, I've got friends that I went to school with. So
amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So we've been quite unlucky to know me quite such a long time.
I know a lot of people move to the area, really, like I have done, and can sort of don't really move on once they move here.
Right.
Because it's lovely.
Yeah.
You know, you're very lucky if you were born here and grew up here, I think.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes if you live here, you take for granted a little bit how fortunate we are. It's a quite a good-looking village, two good pubs.
Yeah.
You've got the sort of petrol station and the whatever, and there's loads of little shops, isn't there?
Yeah,
you know,
there is.
The chip shop and the whatever, and it's just everything you'd sort of need in a village. And
river,
there's a cracking community.
Really? Oh, it is, yeah, really. It's really close, isn't it?
And so, yeah, we are very fortunate.
Yeah, we are.
And a cracking farm shop as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where's that? So, we've sort of discussed everything I really wanted to go through with you, Simon, I think, really.
Well, thanks for your time.
No, thanks for
yours. I've enjoyed talking to you. It's been fun.
And people quite enjoy it because I think it's quite nice to talk about these things. You don't often get a chance to go through.
No. I often think I ought to write a book because, you know, you think of all the things that I've done.
Yeah.
Music festival through to whatever, and then having my accident and getting over that. And
your accident?
Yeah, so 10 years ago this year, I came off my push bike in the village and paralysed myself. I prolapsed a disc in my neck and, actually paralysed myself for briefly, 2 months.
Wow.
So...
You were in hospital for 2 months then? Or
yeah, yeah.
Right.
I was in, went to Oswestry Spinal... surgery, it's a hospital.
Learning to walk again.
So, which is one of the reasons I don't play cricket anymore because it's hard work. But you get on with it, don't you?
You have. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I often think I ought to write a book, really, because there's so many different stupid things that I've done.
Yeah.
Businesses and challenges and it's. It's never a dull moment.
All you need now, Simon, is the time to be
able
to do
need,
that.
Yeah, well, and some talent, maybe. Unfortunately, my creative writing is, as you would expect from an engineer,
terrible.
It's boring. Yeah, just really dull. But who knows? I'll perhaps get my wife to do it.
Yeah, I was just going to say
she's
that.
She's much better
she's
at that sort of thing.
She's
a deputy head teacher.
That's right. So she must have a bit of...
Yeah, she's brilliant
writing,
at all that sort of stuff. She's more creative than me, and probably a better engineer than me as well.
And
she's
much
brighter than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And much better looking.
Oh, without shadow of doubt. Yeah. She Yeah, she's my rock, really. Yeah. So she's the person I bounce off.
Yeah, and you need that, don't you?
Yeah, she's excellent. As I, you know, she's my other half.
Yeah, I mean, to be married to a farmer,
you've got to be very patient.
Yeah,
and possibly slightly foolish. Yeah. Yeah, it's she calls it farmer time, you know. So how long are you going to be? Oh, I'll be 15 minutes.
Yeah.
An hour later.
Yeah.
Where are you then?
Yeah.
So, I'm nearly finished now.
Yeah.
An hour later.
Yeah.
But you sort of get used to it. It's sort of some things have to be done when they have to be done. Mm, you know,
sure.
Make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, indeed. So before we wrap up, we're stood with this barn behind us.
Oh yeah.
Full of cows.
This is what it looks like in the wintertime. People might be used to seeing it when they come to the shindig or whatever, and there's a stage and the bar and everything else. But
So what's the shindig?
So the shindig is it's a music evening, an evening of we put a couple of different bands on, and it's just a it's a great, great night. And I honestly say last year was the best we ever did. And there was, I reckon, probably four generations of people here. There
wow.
was families who came
little kids.
From, well, not little kids, but young adults. Uh-huh. So from sort of 18-year-olds with their parents, with their grandparents.
Wow.
And everyone had a great time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just brilliant. And everyone drinks a bit too much.
Of course.
And dance and just have a really good night. And it's the local band this year is going to be the Anthill Mob, and we're still working on a support act.
Okay.
might put three bands on this time.
Right.
Just
okay.
Might start a little bit earlier, make okay. it a bit more of a festival feel.
Sounds superb.
So
people can find out about that on Facebook,
our website.
Yeah. So do you do other bits and pieces throughout the year then? Obviously you've got the artisan barn on the way in, haven't you?
So we've got, this year, what have we got coming up? We've got, we're probably going to do something for Easter, maybe a treasure hunt, Easter egg hunts for the kids, that sort of thing.
Yeah, Bill.
We've got Open Farm Sunday, which is always very popular.
Yeah, it was good last year.
Which is on the 11th of June, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Then we've got, like I say, we've got various little markets that are going to be coming on, which mm-hmm. you can find out on Facebook or our website, Instagram. And we did, for the first time ever last year, and I don't know how many people knew about it, but we did our first ever outdoor nativity.
Yes.
Which...
That sold out really quickly.
3 hours.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out how to do it again, mm-hmm. because obviously parking can be an issue at that time of year, because obviously people park in the field, but at that time of year, will you ever get out again?
Yeah.
Who knows? So that's another thing that might be coming up at the end of the year.
Yeah, great.
Shindig's in September the 23rd. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, amazing.
We're probably going to host a jazz festival.
Okay.
In conjunction with Dave and Jazz Club. So there's going to be, I think, probably five or six different jazz bands throughout the sort of evening.
Would that be in your courtyard area?
Around the sort of
back of the cafe.
Back of the cafe. Yeah. Well, and the front yard with
the outside
barn. So there's going to be a few different areas.
Okay. Ale on a Bale will be there.
Ale on a Bale will be there. and hope it's going to be a beautiful sunny day and people can sit around. It might be absolutely pouring rain, but whichever way, we'll enjoy
it. Work.
It'll be nice.
Yeah, fab.
So, loads of things coming up. So, good. If people go on Facebook or, like I say, on our website, they can find out all about it.
Fab, cool. Well, as ever, nice to speak to you.
Yeah, you too, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Nice to talk to you.